You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Karina A. Del Rosario. She's talking to me from Seattle, Washington. Karina, thanks so much for being with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Karina, I'd like to talk about your work, your teaching, the way you work as an artist, but perhaps we should just talk about what you're working on at the moment, the current project or projects that you're involved in.
I'm happy to be part of an exhibition at King Street Station here in Seattle called Borderlands, and it's a culmination of a project that I've been working on for the past 4 years called the Passport Office. And what I did was take the most common questions that we find in different kinds of application forms, anything from a driver's license to a credit card application or a job application, and I reframed 5 of those questions to be more open-ended. I set up temporary passport offices at different community events and invited people to participate and had them fill out this reimagined application form. And later I took the information that people provided and created individual artistic passports for them. Part of the reason that I wanted to do this project was I had been working with transgender folks on a documentary project, and I found that for many of them, their official identity documents actually didn't match how they presented, how they lived their lives. So they were in danger of discrimination or being forced to come out when they're not ready because of this mismatch between their identity documents and actually how they present themselves. At the same time, there was a big push with undocumented minors who had come to the U.S. When they were children and didn't realize that they actually were undocumented until much later, so they pushed for the DREAM Act. So I saw this connection of how documents are so important in our lives, and a lot of times if it's not an issue for us, we just will nonchalantly check off all these boxes that actually don't fit who we are.
That's
what I've included in the Borderlands exhibition, which is a group show.
So for 4 years, you were doing this, collecting this information, and, mm-hmm. and over that time, how many artistic passports did you issue?
170. There were probably a little bit more than that, but there was, you know, missing information, or there were actually a lot of people who wanted to participated and wanted to go through the exercise of completing the form, but didn't actually want to have their portrait taken and be formally part of the exhibition. So, you know, it was still an interesting activity for them to go through and use their own words to describe themselves more holistically. Some of the questions that I ended up changing, instead of asking somebody to check a box for their race, their ethnicity, or nationality, I asked a more open-ended question, and I asked what their cultural identity is, and left it really open-ended, and that was actually probably, for many people, among the more fascinating questions, because we're so programmed in this country to check these predetermined boxes that don't really make sense to anyone else but a demographer who's trying to separate out, well, not necessarily just a demographer, but politicians who use this information to grant rights to some people and deny them to others.
That's so interesting. So that was one of the questions. And how did, were there any surprises for you as you looked over all these applications over the course of these years? Because I would imagine you're also you're getting a variety of people doing this, right? This isn't just the transgender community that sounds like the impetus for this, but you're getting a variety of people from all different backgrounds and orientations.
Yeah, a lot of people. I guess for many people, this was really a very thought-provoking question, and there was such a broad range that I don't know if any one particular comment or response surprised me. I think it was more the conversations that I was able to have with people that were eye-opening. This one person was filling out the application, and she kind of had this existential crisis because she, you know, normally what she would check on a form would be white. And then she struggled now that she, you know, had this freedom to fill in cultural identity, she couldn't really figure out what to put. And she was racking her brain for like 20 minutes and, you know, really thinking about it because, you know, she would want to put her, you know, ethnic heritage but doesn't really feel, you know, tied to that. And then how she presented in the world in terms of her gender identity. You know, she's like, well, am I adopting some, you know, how other people see me, or is this how I really see myself? So I think that was really fascinating to see people really struggle to figure out what to put for themselves.
That is interesting. And the passport itself, how did you make that? That was, it's kind of a, basically a small book, right?
Yeah, so I took portraits of folks and printed those and trimmed them. I made them a little bit larger than the standard passport size, just for legibility's sake. But it is a little book with a dark blue cover and some cream-colored pages that I hand-stitched so that it's flutters a little bit. And one of the things that I included is a statement that's actually in every passport, not just U.S. passports, but other countries as well. And the statement reads, "The artist hereby requests all whom it may concern to permit the bearer, a citizen of the world, to pass safely and freely, and in case of need, to give all aid and protection." So in a U.S. passport and in a Philippine passport and in other country passports, instead of the artist, it's, you know, the United States or the Philippines or whatever country. So that is actually official language. And I find it very moving that, you know, if you hold this document, you're supposed to be granted aid. But if you don't have this document, if you are undocumented, are people still going to help you? Are you still going to have the same kinds of protection?
Right. It sounds like you wouldn't, of course, you know. Right. It's so interesting what that whole document symbolizes. So you're having this show. You'll be showing some of those documents and what else is in the show? Is it just the passports in the show that you've created and parts of them? Is that essentially the show?
It's actually 100 and my portion of the show, my contribution to the show is all 170 passports. Thankfully, this is the first, you know, I'm finally able to have the space to show all 170 passports. And I worked with another artist to build these frames or that have railings on them that the passports are attached to, and I hand painted some other pieces to go along with it. So if you look at it from afar, it gives a little bit of a feeling of a flag effect. The structure is taken from a book arts method that's actually called a flag book, where you have pages that are going in opposite directions. So I have six of these panels because, of course, 170 passports can take up a lot of room, and they're all open. So I have that, and in addition to the artistic work, I wanted to give some context to it. So I actually have some repurposed gates that had been in the INS Detention Center, or what's now called ICE Detention Center, that used to be here in Seattle. So I repurposed those to form a barrier, and on the gates, I did a lot of research to look at discriminatory policies that have targeted specific groups. So there's a section on transgender rights. There's a section on Native Americans and also Blacks. And in terms of, especially during colonial times, what they were identified as, because that would determine whether or not they had any rights or right to own property or were recognized even as human beings. So I did research from colonial times to present day on legislation that targeted specific groups, because I wanted people to have the context. A lot of times when people were participating in my temporary installations, they'd ask, you know, well, why do people, you know, why do we get asked these questions anyway, like around race or gender? And I didn't know whether they were asking rhetorically or if they really didn't have a thorough, you know, education on our U.S. history. So I thought it important to give that context that that we've been asked in these forms because they've been used to separate people and to say that, okay, it's going to be okay for you to do this, it's okay for you to do that, but if you check this box, it's not okay.
That's true. So this is a pretty exciting show, and all the passports in there, as well as the other material, are those all like duplicates of the passports that people have, that you've given out, or did they loan them all for the show?
Once they participated in filling out the form, the participants didn't get an original printed copy. I just made digital copies available to them.
I see. And so what's next? This is the culmination of a huge ongoing project. Or maybe before I ask what's next, as it's presented, do you have any other thoughts? I mean, in the last 4 years, you know, we've gone through this huge political shift and are now in what seems like a very different era of politics and discussion about immigration or newcomers. How do you look back on this project and it coming out at this moment and being exhibited at this moment in this way?
Yeah, it's really interesting to be able to put this work out right now. When I started it 4 years ago, it was definitely a much different time, and yet at the same time, because particularly attacks on immigrants have been taking place for the history of this country, I knew that it wasn't, you know, wasn't an issue that was going to go away. There was a time when, you know, things didn't feel so tense when President Obama signed the executive order granting temporary protection to undocumented minors who'd been here for, you know, who'd grown up here. That felt like, oh, that's a great turning point. It's, you know, this sense of relief. And then, of course, all of that was ripped away, not necessarily that particular executive order, but the threat to immigrants has certainly spiked up all over again. So it's strange to be able to have this work still be so timely, you know, over the course of 4 years that I've been working on it. So I feel really, you know, I feel that this is my response to our political moment, and I'm hoping to, after it comes down from King Street Station in Seattle, it's going to move to a community college here. I'd like to see if there are opportunities to show it in other places, especially in, you know, in university settings, because I think it is such a great tool for discussion to really initiate conversations about who we are as a country and our history.
Absolutely. And what is next? Will it be an extension of that in the way you're seeing, or do you have other projects that you're working on?
Right now, I'm trying to see what comes of it, if I'm able to get it to tour. I'm also kind of just recovering because it was to try to put this together for a show. And, you know, finally put the pieces together. It was kind of an exhausting birthing process. It was like 9 months of gestation and, you know, 2 months of labor pushing. So I need to switch gears to focus on my teaching as the school year is just around the corner. It'll be, you know, just changing gears a little bit. I do bring this project into the classroom in a different format, because I think it's especially for middle schooler and high school students as they're trying to explore their own identity. This is an interesting way for them to look at themselves and look at, you know, address issues around discrimination that's all around them.
So let's talk a little bit about them bringing this into the classroom before we go. So, what grade do you teach?
I teach anywhere from kindergarten through 12th grade as a guest teaching artist, but my usual focus is 5th and 6th graders, and then also high school English language learners.
And when you incorporate this, because it seems that you've done interesting and unusual projects with that range of students, how do they react to that? Do they react different than adults that you've been working with on this project over the years? I would think kids maybe identify or have a different kind of way of approaching some of the issues that for adults, as you mentioned, could be kind of existential. Like, you know, what is my... you know, how do I identify myself? For kids, is it different or similar?
The English language learners that I've done this project with, they're high school students, and most of them have been in the country, you know, some recent arrivals and some who've been in the country for maybe 3 years, so they're first-generation immigrants. And they're definitely much more tied to their ethnic and religious background in a very, I guess, a traditional way. They're still very much rooted in their homeland as they're trying to navigate this new place that they're in. So I had invited the ELL students to identify for themselves what are the five top, you know, what questions would you ask instead of here's how I reframed them, but what five things do you find most important? And they, you know, they said their ethnicity, their religion or culture, and they also talked about, you know, their dreams. Like, they want people to know what their dreams are, what their aspirations are. So I thought that was really lovely because I think they're in that period of, you know, searching for independence and really, you know, really longing to realize what they've dreamed for themselves and what their families have dreamed for them as they've risked, you know, leaving the familiar behind to seek a new life in the U.S.
Yeah, that sounds sort of wonderfully. I don't know if youthful is the right word, but it's a certain type of outlook at a certain age, right? I mean, mm-hmm. to talk about, you know, like, what are my dreams? You wanting to be identified, if not by your dreams, at least along with your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The cynicism hasn't set in yet.
Right. wonderful. So before we go, I want to ask you what book you're reading now, if you don't mind sharing that, or what are you reading, whether it's a book or not, you know, anything.
Sure. Right now I'm reading Open City by Teju Cole. I've been a fan of his writing about photography in the New York Times Magazine, and so this is his novel. It feels very, you know, feels very much that like I'm reading his diary. His writing is just very astute, and there's a calmness to his observations about everyday interactions that I find really interesting.
Karina, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure learning about your projects and work.
Well, thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.